smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salafatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Salafatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his mighty Allen Art players. Music with Peter Van Steen, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of hopeful amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade into the doors of the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a toothbrush, and the mighty Allen Art players are passing out Hartman desensitizer for the folks to rub on their ears during the drama. Let's join the shouting throng. Everybody's going. Here they come. Baseball rookies.
Now remember, I want all you rookies in bed by 7 bells.
Not me, coach. I got to stay up an extra hour this evening at Town Hall tonight.
Inventors.
But why did you invent the radio, Mr. Marconi?
I wanted the world to enjoy just one radio program, madam. It's Town Hall tonight.
Apartment dwellers.
Hey, lady, you can't go crawling up the outside of that building.
This elevator strike won't stop me from getting to my radio officer. It's Town Hall tonight.
And here we are in front of the old town hall, and there's Fred waving his arms and shouting like a harangue out fang. Let's listen.
Under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands. And the tree looks pretty bare tonight, folks, because we've got all of the old chestnuts at the old town hall. Keep to the right, please.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Bloom. How are things down at your pet shop?
Oh, I'm taking inventory. It's an awful job counting the fleas.
Counting fleas? It's a dog's life, Mrs. Bloom. Now, don't jostle, folks.
Hi there, Freezy.
Hello there, Lummox. Where are you going with that chicken?
I can't wait for the egg. I'm going to throw this hen at your actors.
There's foul play in the offing, folks, so hurry, hurry, hurry,
all
hurry.
All set on the inside, Fred.
All right, hurry. The show opens with Let Yourself Go.
Righto, Fred. Let yourself go, Peter.
Come get together. Let the dance floor feel the leather.
Step as lightly as a feather.
Let yourself go. Come, hit the timber. Loosen up and start to limber.
Can't you hear that hot marimba?
Let yourself go. Let yourself go. Relax and let yourself go. Relax, you got yourself tied up in a knot. The night is cold, but the music's hot. So come, cuddle closer. Don't you dare to answer no, sir. Put your banker, clerk, or grocer. Let yourself go.
Presenting that cosmic colossus of caroling caricature and captivating comic cannonades, Fred Allen in person.
Oh, Harry, what you said. Thank you, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before turning over the hourglass and leaving fingerprints on the sands of time, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, has a special announcement for this evening. Now, Hodge says he put in a stock of eggplant last week, and a lot of you people have been coming into the store and cracking the eggplant open without buying any. Now, Hodge wants it understood for the last time. There are no yolks in eggplant, so don't go opening up the rest of the stock just to satisfy your curiosity. So much for for local busybodies. I often do that to encourage myself. So much for local busybodies. And now for the town hall news. The picture sheet, Harry.
Here it comes.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all.
New York City, New York. Longchamp's restaurant chain announces wage increases for employees based on merit system. Waiters giving patrons best service will receive highest salaries. Town Hall News shows superior service diners can expect in New York City if all cafes install new Longchamp system. The scene, the front of any cafe.
How do you do, madam? I'm Hemingway, the doorman.
Charmed, Hemingway. I'm Mrs. Guthrie.
Transported, Mrs. Guthrie. May I click my heels?
Do. Oh, how staccato.
Now I shall carry you in, Mrs. Guthrie.
Oh, are you actually going to bundle me in your arms?
Superior service, Mrs. Guthrie. Ups and orchid.
Isn't it ups and daisy, Hemingway?
At the superior, Mrs. Guthrie, it's orchids or better.
Am I too heavy for you?
Oh, no, not at all, Mrs. Guthrie. Would you prefer to piggyback?
Oh, no. I'm always tempted to piggyback, side saddle. It's the tomboy in me.
Very good, Mrs. Guthrie. I shall set you inside the door. There we are. Now, may I present Mr. Clump, our head waiter?
Charmed, Mr. Clunk.
Oh, pardon, not Clunk, Mrs. Guthrie. It's Clump. Clump as in bushes.
Oh, so sorry.
Oh, thank you. Are you having the luncheon, Mrs. Guthrie?
I'm undecided, Mr. Chump. I think I shall just relax and have a waiter attempt me.
Very good, madam. I shall call a menial. Waiter! Waiter!
Yes, Mr. Clump?
May I present Mrs. Guthrie?
Charmed, Noel. Now, look, I'm terribly rushed. Can you tempt me in a hurry?
A pleasure, madam. How about pig's feet a la king?
I succumb, Noel.
I'm off, madam.
And Noel.
Yes, Mrs. Guthrie?
Don't have the pig's feet pigeon-toed. They remind me of my first husband. Or was it my second husband? No, Henry had frog's legs.
Here we are, Mrs. Guthrie. Pig's feet a la king with the toes akimbo.
Oh, back already, Noel.
Superior service, Mrs. Guthrie.
It does look scrumptious. Have you the time, Noel?
It's 10 past, Mrs. Guthrie.
10 past? Oh, I must fly.
But your lunch.
I won't have time to eat it.
Very well, Mrs. Guthrie. Superior service. Here.
What is this?
You drink this bicarbonate, Mrs. Guthrie. I shall bolt your lunch.
Forest Hills, New York. Mr. W.F. Peterson sends his wife 2 vocal telegrams at Grand Central Station. As Mrs. Peterson waited for train to Madison, Wisconsin, 4 messenger boys arrived and delivered cheers. The first telegram was...
Ruff, 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 Madison, Madison, Madison.
But before Mrs. Peterson could board the Madison train, there came a second telegraphic cheer, to wit...
Sis, boom, bop. Uncle Pat, Aunt Lucille, Grandma Esther, Grandma Bertha, who's all right? They're all right. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
If telegraph companies are going in for oral telegrams, anxious wives can take advantage of this new service. The scene, a tavern.
Hey, waitress, give me a whiskey sour.
Ain't it time you was getting home to the wife?
Say, I got the greatest old wife in the world. Likes to see me enjoy myself. Enjoy myself, Homer, she always says. She's sitting home right this minute.
Telegram for Mr. Bowser.
Okay, boy, I'm Mr. Bowser.
Right. There's a vocal telegram for you.
Yeah, what's it say?
All right, boys, deliver.
You brute. You beast. You drink that slop while I wait dinner home here. Stop. I hope you drink yourself to death. P.S. I hope you smother. By the time you get this telegram, I'll be back home with mother.
Oh, boy, this is P.S. Enjoy myself, am I right?
Oh, no, you got 2 slaps in the puss coming.
Ow! Oh!
If vocal telegrams become popular around the world, telegrams in Scotland may sound like this. The scene, a boat pier in Glasgow.
I've got a telegram for Mr. Campbell.
Aye, lad, where's the message?
It's vocal.
Aye, then what's the news?
It says, it's bon voyage, Mr. Campbell, as around the world you ramble. My very best wishes to you I send. This telegram's collect from a bosom friend.
Cambridge, Massachusetts. Dr. Harry R. DeSilva of Harvard Bureau of Traffic Research says that women automobile drivers are inferior to men. Town Hall News shows the difference between men and women drivers. The scene, a traffic crossing. The woman driver approaches.
Hey, careful, Lulu, red light.
I'm doing the driving, Oswald.
Yes, but a red light means stop, dear.
I'll stop when I'm good and ready.
Well, you stopped.
Well, I was ready.
Hey, what's the big idea? Look at my rear end.
Don't get personal.
Personal? Look at my gas tank. It's up in the front seat.
You deliberately backed into me.
Backed into you? I put my hand out in the middle of the block.
If you did, it was so dirty I didn't see it.
Where's your license?
Where's my license, Oswald?
You're driving the car, Lulu. Don't ask me.
Come on, your license.
Oh, yes, I remember now. I threw out my clutch down the road. I must have thrown out the license with it.
Traffic's moving. I'll sue you later.
The green light's on, Lulu.
I'm not colorblind.
Well, let's get going.
Well, I'm pulling this thing here.
That's the cigar lighter. Press that lever.
You mean this dirty stick on the side?
No. That's the emergency.
Well, this is an emergency, isn't it? Maybe if I press this here.
No, that's the horn. Have you got your foot on the gas?
I must have. I've got both my feet on things.
Let me see.
Well, I'm certainly driving. It's this car that's holding things up.
Yeah, no wonder we're not moving.
Why?
You've got your foot on the brake.
Oh, well, at last we're off.
Off nothing. The red light's on again.
And now the man driver approaches the same crossing. Ah, but how different. The police whistle sounds, and the man driver calmly waits for the green light. After the police whistle, off he goes, sailing smoothly on through traffic, on and on.
Hey, what's the big idea? Look at my rear end.
Thank you. So much for the Town Hall News, ladies and gentlemen. Now for the Department of Higher Learning. The other evening, as I was thumbing through my Aristotle...
Aristotle? Whatever made you read Greek philosophy, Fred?
You know, Harry, someone told me that Aristotle believed that a man had more teeth than a woman.
Well, now, whatever gave him that idea, I wonder?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to find out.
Say, while we're on the subject, how many teeth has a man, Fred?
Oh, everybody knows that, Harry. A man has 20, 30... well, let's talk some more. I didn't finish about Aristotle.
Well, now, wait, Fred. I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it, Fred. After all, it isn't as important to know how many teeth we have as it is to know how to take care of them. And if we know about Ipana toothpaste, that important question is answered. For Ipana was made not only to thoroughly clean and polish our teeth, but to tone and stimulate our gums as well. And here's why that is so vital.
Our teeth are seldom white and sparkling if our gums are soft and tender. And the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays don't give our gums enough work to keep them firm and healthy. So we use Ipana with massage. It will give those under-exercised gums the stimulation they need.
If you follow that advice, ladies and gentlemen, you will not only improve the health of your mouth, but the looks of your teeth as well. So always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours playing I've Got My Fingers Crossed. Now, on Thursday night
Mr.
at the...
Allen!
Oh, gee.
Mr. Allen!
Quiet, quiet, Silvu play. If that's some wrestler rehearsing his grunt, I'll show you a hammerlock if I can find a hammer around here.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I walked into the masquerade as a Welsh rabbit. They didn't know I was the head cheese. I guess it isn't thoroughly understood yet. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I had to come out to buy Papa 4 pairs of shoes, so I thought I'd stop in.
4 pairs of shoes? Don't tell me Papa's grown 2 feet since I saw him last.
No, he says if this elevator strike lasts, he's going to need plenty of shoes.
Say, the elevator is getting serious, isn't it?
I'll say. Mae West has had to change her slogan.
On account of the elevator strike?
Yeah. She used to say, come up and see me sometime.
What's she saying now?
Stay there. I'll be right down.
Yes, I guess you don't have to be social to be a climber these days.
Papa's all in.
Oh, Papa's all in from what?
Well, running up and down 10 flights of stairs all day, it's no sense.
Running up and down 10 flights for what?
Some man is running our elevator, and Papa's picketing him.
I can... Why doesn't he picket on a pogo stick?
Oh, you think I'm pretty dumb. But you don't know the half of it.
Now look, Portland. If brains were anchovy paste, you wouldn't have enough to make a canopy.
What's a canopy?
It's a thing mentioned in that song Bing Crosby used to sing. You know, canopy the trees that fill the breeze.
Oh, a canopy. Why didn't you say so?
Do you actually know what a canopy is?
Don't be normal. A canopy is a canvas toupee over a door.
A canvas toupee over a door. I guess the March breezes have got your conversation a little wind-blown, Portland.
Oh, boy, March is my favorite month, next to April.
Well, that's generally where you find March, next to April.
What was that the poet said?
The poet? Oh, you mean, what comes in like a lion?
Oh, everybody knows what comes in like a lion. It's an MGM picture.
Fine. Now, if you'll go out like a lamb...
Oh, no, I've got a surprise for you tonight.
The only way you can surprise me is to go home. Get.
Mr. Bowers!
No, now wait now.
Okay, Morty, many are called, but you get there as quick as I do.
You remember Mr. Allen, Mr. Bowers?
Yes, there are 2 faces I'll never forget. The other one is on Frankenstein.
Now, don't start in, Mr. Bowers. Just because your derby is living on the fat of the land...
Mr. Bowers hasn't said anything yet, Mr. Allen.
No, but if I can get the right of way, I'll say a few words.
Now, listen. I'm not given to indulging in acrimonious banter with any self-styled venomous upstart who sees fit to slap my cheek with a gloved preposition.
Wow, that was some mouthful, Mr. Allen.
And I'm not even mad yet.
When I get bitter, I drool Angostura.
Mr. Bowers is a certified public accountant.
Lord, yes. I'm a wizard at figures.
I'll say Mr. Bowers is here to see about your income tax, Mr.
Really?
Allen.
Oh, yes. March 15th will soon be here, Brother Allen. The income tax motto is many happy returns.
If you want Mr. Bowers to make out your tax, he'll guarantee service.
What service?
I will tinker with a minimum and a maximum to your advantage. I've got a blank right here.
You'll have to answer a few questions first, Mr. Allen.
What questions?
Question number 1. Born?
No, no. My folks filled in the last line of a limerick and I was mailed to the house.
What's the next question, Mr. Bowers?
What is your business, profession, or calling?
I'm a radio comedian.
Engaged in a racket, eh?
The next one's, what's your gross income?
Yes, come clean, Alan.
It's $2,000.
$2,000? Any income from fiduciaries?
What are fiduciaries, Mr. Bowers?
A fiduciary, is a man who fiduces. He's fiduces wild in poker and so on, et cetera.
I don't play cards. That
any losses by storm?
Yes, $200,000.
Were you in the Johnstown flood?
No.
Well, how could you lose $200,000 in a storm, Mr. Allen?
I had an Irish sweepstake ticket. It rained the day of the race, and my horse was no good in the mud.
Any dependents?
Five. Four bartenders and a landlord.
Now, what about your overhead?
Yes. Do you use a hair tonic?
Oh, of course. Vitalis. But it's made by the same people who make Ipana and Salifatica.
Do you get your Vitalis on the cup, Mr. Allen?
No, not if I'm careful. Most of it goes on my hair.
Now, let me see. Your net income, item 20, less personal exemptions explained in Schedule F, plus instruction 22, less 2% of item 4. Your capital gain deducted from state kind of business, plus the windfall tax.
What's the total, Mr. Bowers?
I've got it right here. See, clause 1, section A.
Never mind that. What do I owe?
Well, according to my figures, it comes out, refer to section B.
What section B, Mr. Bowers?
It says, are you a resident alien?
That's fine. You're just the man to balance the nation's budget. Are you a resident alien? Am I a...
Gosh, you've got to pay some income tax, Mr. Allen. You can't be a wallflower.
Yes, Bowers, I'm not going to be a wallflower in this movement. I insist. I made $2,000. I've got to do my bit.
You can't, Allen. Your five dependents at $400 make it just $2,000. You're even with Uncle Sam.
Now, here, you can't do this to me, Bowers. I have my rights, and I insist on paying my income tax.
Isn't there anything you can do, Mr. Bowers?
There's only one solution.
What is it, Bowers?
I'll have to shoot your five dependents.
Carry on, Bowers. So long, Cortland.
Tally, ho!
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys prove if you give them enough musical rope, they'll use it wisely. Their song, I'll Be Hanged.
Come on, Mama, and go my bail. Come on, Mama, and go my bail.
I was standing by a bank in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And I never thought of doing any harm.
Oh, no.
When I turned and saw the sheriff of the county,
oh,
and he flipped his badge and grabbed me by the arm. He accused me as the robber of the mail train, and he said I was the leader of the gang. He escorted me before a judge and jury, and the verdict was that I was gonna hang.
But I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me. If they do, I'll sue the penitentiary.
I may never be forgiven, but I'm so darn used to living.
I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me. Oh, well, they cut my hair and handed me a number, and they offered me a towel and cake of soap. When they asked me if I'd like to go in swimming,
I said, no, I'd much prefer to skip the rope.
Get it, Fred?
Yes, I get it, boys. No news is good news.
But I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me on a tree. You can bet your boots and saddle I will be. Glory be. They can go and hang my photo that they took in North Dakota. I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me. Wrote a letter to my sweetheart on the prairie, asking her to help me make a prison break.
So she baked a cake and in it put a hammer,
but she didn't send an axe to cut the cake. Oh, I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me. I'll be hanged if they will hang me to a tree.
Now I
ain't talking like a smarty, but there'll be no necking party. I'll be hanged if they're gonna hang me.
Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
I wonder if you'll do something for me.
If I can, Fred, surely.
Well, if I should ask you to say something about Sal Hepatica, what would you say?
Now, what are you getting at, Fred?
You'll find out. Come on now, what would you say?
Well, I'd say that Sal Hepatica should be the first thought of anyone who wakes up feeling sluggish, dull, or under the weather.
And why would you say that, Harry?
Because Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that gets right after the two things that usually make a person feel dull and sluggish. The waste in the body and the acid in the system. And that is serving a double purpose.
I know. You'd probably say just how much to take, too, wouldn't you, Harry?
Yes, Fred. 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica and a glass of water. And it will soon start changing that logy feeling into one of buoyancy.
All right, Harry. Now, suppose I should ask you not to say anything about Sal Hepatica.
Well, Fred, then I wouldn't. I wouldn't even say, remember Sal Hepatica for the smile of health.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the mighty Alan R. Players. The first actors to have an audience break into their dressing rooms and hiss them before they even got their makeups on. Tonight, these colorful catastrophes bring you a dramatic playlet of the Old South entitled Colonel Culpepper's Plight, or When Love Flies in the Closet, a Husband is Generally at the Door. Overture, Peter.
Jefferson, you old no-account sleeve.
Yes, Master Colonel Culpepper.
Yeah, chap, bring me a mint julep, Jefferson.
We all out of mint, and we ain't got no julep, man.
Why, no mint and no julep. I knowed we all didn't have no food, but I didn't suspect we was out of liquor.
You all's out of everything, sir.
I ain't out of you, Jefferson, my loyal old retainer.
I'm tired of being retained on conversation, Colonel, sir.
I'm a Culpepper, Jefferson, and the Culpeppers was born to uphold the traditions of the South.
I know, sir, but getting paid in Confederate money gets powerful monotonous, sir.
You all is forgetting your position, Jefferson.
My position at the moment is directly behind the 8-ball, sir. And the way things is going round, chair, you all's fixing to join me.
Yeah. No fortune telling, Jefferson. Open yonder window, chair. My slaves might be a singing. If I can't have me my wine, at least I can have me my song.
Yeah.
Carry me back to old Virginia.
If you all ask me, them boys is hinting for bus fare.
Yeah, close that window, Jefferson.
Yeah. Did you all had fish and singing, Colonel?
No, Jefferson. But the next line in that song is, that's where the corn and taters...
Corn and taters. Yes. You all got some memories, sir.
Yes, a corn and... I ain't seen no corn around here since the last time I had my shoes off, Jefferson.
Evening, Miss Culpepper.
Evening, Jefferson.
Evening, Clairebell, honey.
Don't y'all honey me, Gaylord Culpepper.
Clairebell.
Of all the worthless no-account husband.
Now, here, you ain't saying...
You can go, Jefferson.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, I can speak freely, Gaylord.
Y'all ain't fixing to rant, Clairebell.
Rant? Why, look at y'all, horizontal.
I'm natural, sitting chair.
But you've been a sitting now so long, it's a wonder you ain't hatched out the furniture.
Oh, hatched out the furniture. Shut you. I'm out of breath, Clairebell.
I know. You've been out of breath since the Battle of Bull Run.
I reckon. I don't know who's who cared a bull that day, but I sure took me good care to run it.
You sure did. Our daughter was born winded.
Our daughter, little Magnolia, the fairest flower in all the South.
Poor Magnolia. She's a flower, but her pep is done gone to seed.
Gone to seed? Listen at her. Listen, chair. Here, Lord Culpepper's master, the largest plantation chair below the Mason-Dixon line.
Plantation? Why, you ain't raised nothing but your hat for 10 years, and very little of that.
Oh, here. I got me 200 slaves on what used to be my payroll, ain't I?
Well, your slaves is quit.
Yeah, you ain't seeing that.
They quit. They're a-picketing the plantation this very minute.
A-picketing?
Picketing. Open your window and see.
Taking in that new
account,
Colonel Culpepper.
Calling old Culpepper, all the dirty names us can think of.
Riding Pickers, local number 802, picketing Colonel Culpepper.
Well, doggone if I ain't got me some labor trouble.
Gaylord, why don't y'all sell the old plantation?
Sell Ragweed Manor? What did I do, Clairbell?
With what you all know is that setting, you all could get a job as vice president up north.
No, I told you all never to mention that five-lettered word. I mean in certain states in my presence, had I? Oh, my tooth here.
Your tooth again. It's been aching y'all 50 year, ain't it?
Yeah, 50 year, and it can go right on aching.
I expect you're blaming that tooth on the north, too.
Indirectly, yes. Back in 1890, that dentist up yonder at Nashville said he'd yank it. But when he said yank, I got me out of the chair.
Well, old mulehead, you ain't a-starving me to death. I'm auctioning off the old plantation today.
Claire Bell.
Yep, got me the auction man right, y'all.
You ain't saying.
Come in here, Mr.
Oh, now, yeah, don't bring...
This is your gum, Gaylord.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Before I close anything, I gotta know me first who I'm a-doing business with. What's your way all from, Daniels?
I'm from North Carolina.
A-northerner, hey? Hey, get out of my house or I'll fly your auction flag half-mast. Now get.
I'm a-gittin'. So long.
Claylord Culpepper, you old hypocrite.
I ain't no Claylord. I'm Gaylord. You can take the L out of my name now if you're gonna call me names around here. I got my traditions, Claire Bell. As long as I've got a roof over my head.
A roof? Why, the shingling is so thin. If a sparrow sat down on the roof, he'd fall clean into the living room.
If a sparrow would only fall clean into the dining room, we're going to have capon for dinner.
Now, I don't mind y'all starving me, but our daughter Magnolia's getting to be skin and bone.
Magnolia, my pride and joy. Say, who all's yonder in that Model T, Claire Bell, driving up by the door? If it's a Yankee tank, I'm shooting on sight.
Hush your begging mouth, Gaylord. It's Magnolia. And there's a stranger with her.
A stranger? If he's in the north.
Oh, cool off, Gaylord. They're at the door. Magnolia, honey.
Mammy.
Magnolia, curtsy for your pappy.
I want you all to meet my new gentleman friend, Reverend Old Dowdy.
Charm, Mr. Dowdy.
I'm powerful flustered meeting Magnolia's mammy and pappy.
You all have the honor, chair, of meeting Colonel Gaylord Culpepper, sir. Original stool pigeon for Stonewall Jackson.
Ravenel and me's fixing to get married, Pappy. He's a banker.
Rant and true. Magnolia told me about y'all's plight. I'm fixing to bring a wagon load of money over here directly after the wedding.
Well, you know.
Glory, see, we can pay the servants, fix up the mansion.
Well, certainly I can have my shortening bread lengthened around here, too. I can have my picture of old Stonewall done over in stucco.
Oh, hurry up now, Gaylord. Give the children your blessing. You're retired in progress.
Just one question first, Mr. Dowdy.
My life's an open book, Colonel, sir.
You all ain't from the north.
No, sir. I'm a Dowdy from way back when the Tennessee Dowdies.
If he's got plenty of money, I don't care if he's a rowdy Dowdy.
When we're all hitched, Ravenel says you can have the shirt off his back, Pappy.
Right and true, Colonel. And you all don't have to wait for the wedding. You all can have the shirt off my back right here, you can.
Ravenel.
Yes, by Jasmine, I'll take it off right here.
Now, here, what size is it?
I'll help you all slip it off, Ravenel.
Here, no stripping. There's ladies present.
I'm as good as my word, Colonel Culpepper. Here's my shirt.
Confound you all, Ravenel Dowdy. I forbid my personal blessing.
Pappy!
I told you not to take it off, Ravenel. You've insulted Pappy.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Colonel, sir.
Hold your peace, Dowdy.
Oh, forgive him, Pappy. Don't spoil Magnolia's wedding.
I'm from the South Magnolia of Claire Bell, and I've got my tradition.
What's taking off his shirt got to do with Southern traditions, Pappy?
Ain't his shirt. Look on him. The doggone traitor wearing a union suit.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try an experiment. Now, if we could broadcast the next part of this program from one of your homes instead of from here at the town hall, I wonder if it wouldn't sound like this.
You know, Mary, if we were there at town hall...
Well, we're not. We're home. So will you listen to the radio?
And now, an interesting announcement from an interesting man, Harry Von Zell.
Ladies and gentlemen, if any of you have a cold, don't just let it run its course.
Hey, Mary, you're getting a cold.
John, keep quiet.
For when you have a cold, there are two things wrong with you.
There's more than that the matter with you, Mary.
John, please.
The two basic things which should be given immediate attention are, first, the wastes in your body, and second, the acid in your system, which always encourages your cold. So Salapatica, which gets after both those conditions, is the logical thing to take.
Well, that makes sense.
John, keep quiet.
Salapatica is the mineral salt laxative that does not just one, but two fundamental things. It rids your body of wastes, and it also combats your acidity. Why not help your system fight that cold by putting two teaspoonfuls of Salapatica in a glass of water right now and drinking it?
Say, Mary, want me to get you a bottle?
No.
Why not?
Because I bought a bottle today.
And at the first sign of a cold, remember Salapatica for the smile of health.
Gentlemen, Town Hall tonight continues immediately after your station announcement. We're back in Town Hall, and the crowd's cheering Fred Allen as he leads a new group of hopeful amateurs about to make their bow to the world as entertainers out to the microphone. It's their big moment, and here they are.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight our amateurs compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. You folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest decibel applause ratings will be called back later for the final vote. Now, first tonight, I am happy to present Miss Rita...
DeVino.
Thank you very much, Miss DeVino. You are from... I'm sort of confused tonight. You know, the old town hall don't seem the same without Tom the talking bird here, you see. I sort of got used to Tom, and it sort of upset me tonight seeing you here out of a clear sky, as it were. And you are from West Forest Hills, are you?
That's right.
Where is that? Just past Forest Hills?
Well, that's on the west of Forest Hills.
Oh, west of... I should have known that, shouldn't I? I know where Forest Hills is. That's a tennis court bounded by a subway or something, isn't it?
Call it anything you like. I love it.
You... well, and I won't... I perhaps I'd better just keep quiet about it, Rita. Rita, that's your first name, isn't it? Rita?
Naturally.
Well, I didn't know whether that was named by itself, Rita, or whether it was sort of a rumble seat on a name like Margarita or Margaret or something like that. Is it a name all by itself, a four-lettered word meaning you?
Well, that's what my daddy calls me.
Rita, huh? Margaret comes from the Latin word pearl or something, doesn't it? Margaret means pearl.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I thought just a little homemade conversation I'm making here. My cooking is so bad, I make conversation instead occasionally. But really, Margaret, I believe, means pearl. Not as in Jack Pearl, but pearl as an oyster, you know. Well, you're going to sing, aren't you, Miss Stavino?
That's right.
Have you studied singing?
No, I'm very sorry to say I never took a lesson.
You haven't? How did you discover that you could sing?
Well, I was told when I used to sing my baby brothers to sleep.
Did they tell you they have to wait till they grew up? And... Well, all right, I'm always saying the wrong thing, Rita. Now, what would you like to sing?
A Little Town in Old County Down.
A Little Town in Old County Down. Thank you. DeVino. Thank you very much, Mr. DeVino. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Miss Alice McGee. Good evening, Miss McGee.
Good evening, Mr.
Are you from New York City? Do you mind if I ask you?
No, I'm not from New York City.
Oh, aren't you? You're from out of town, are you?
Yes, sir.
Do you like it? I shan't ask you where you come from because it might be a great distance, and by the time we got to it... In conversation, it will be after 10 o'clock.
Well, it is a long distance away.
Is it really?
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask you now that you've brought it up?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, where do you come from, Miss McGee?
I come from Missouri.
From Missouri, really?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. And do you like it here in New York?
Yes, I like it very much in New
York. It isn't bad now that the streets have finally been cleaned off. I mean, you can see what's going on around here. You know, for several weeks uptown, they tell me the snow was so deep way up in the Bronx that firemen who were called out to fires had to find the hydrants through memory. I mean, it was just sort of a test.
Well, that was pretty bad for some of them, I suppose.
Yes, it was, Miss McGee. And you are a... You are there's an old song, Miss McGee, the Nate Little Milliner. You're not related to that.
No, I'm not related to her.
That just occurred to me. But you are a mimic. You impersonate birds and different farm animals, do you?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
All right. Well, you can go right ahead. You don't want me to help you.
No, I don't help you.
All right. I probably wouldn't be of any great help. So you'll excuse me, won't you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, my first imitation would be the first sign of spring, the robin redbreast. And the next imitation is that little white animal that the kiddies love to ride. A calf calling for its mama.
Bah.
And one of the most destructive of all birds, the crow. Next, the peacock, one of the most beautiful strutting birds of all.
McGee. Thank you very much, Miss McGee. I didn't know that a beautiful bird like the peacock made such a such a noise. I'm certainly glad to find that out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Elizabeth, New Jersey, it was my pleasure to have you meet Herbert Bernfeld. Is that right, Herbert?
Right.
And you are going to play the saxophone?
That's it.
I should have guessed that. I saw you standing here with the... Well, you can't tell these days, Herbert, the fact that you're here with a saxophone. There are so many deceitful people. You run across them. Some of them are apt to come up here with a saxophone and turn around and play the piano. I mean, just upset me. But I'm certainly glad to know that I'm dealing with an honest, upright young man.
Thank you.
You're here with a saxophone, and you are going to play the saxophone. How are things over in Elizabeth, Herbert?
Oh, they're all right.
You go to school over there?
Yes, high school.
To high school, huh? You belong to the, what high school? Do you care if I ask?
Jefferson. Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson High, huh?
Right.
You play with the school orchestra, or do you belong to any musical organization?
Yes, the Glee Club Band and Orchestra.
The Glee Club Band and Orchestra, huh? Well, that's nice. There's nothing so relaxing after a hard day's work as a little glee, and I think everyone should belong to a glee club if possible. Now, what are you going to play on the saxophone?
St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues. Thank you. That was Herbert Bernfeld, ladies and gentlemen. Herb, before you go away, how old are you?
16 years old.
You're 16 years old. How long have you been taking lessons on the saxophone?
4 years.
Only 4 years, huh? You play like that?
Yes, I play clarinet.
You do, huh? You play that way and only having taken lessons for 4 years. I think the saxophone must have taken lessons for 8 years itself before you got a hold of it.
I hope not.
All right, thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bobby King from New York City. How are you, Bob?
All right, how are you, Mr. Allen?
Well, that's swell, Bob. That's the snappiest comeback we've had here in a long time. Uncle Jim tells me that you are... How old are you? Do you mind if I ask?
No, not at all. 18.
You're 18, huh? Sure. Uncle Jim tells me that you are a songwriter. Do you write songs?
I think so.
You write the music or the lyrics?
Well, I write the lyrics, and my partner sitting over there writes the music.
Oh, does he play the piano for
yes,
you?
Yes, but he's not allowed to play tonight.
Oh, he's not allowed to play tonight.
Local 802.
Local 802, huh? Well, how old is he?
Well, he's 18, too.
He's 18? Well, I don't see how the local can object to him. If he played the piano, it would still be a minor infraction of the rule. But, how many songs have you written?
Oh, about 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Had any of them published yet?
Not that much luck.
Well, it takes a little time. What are the, I certainly hope you do. What are the titles of some of your songs? You mind saying?
You're My Ray of Sunshine.
You're My Ray of Sunshine.
Moon of Sorrento.
Moon of Sorrento.
Alone with You.
Alone with You, huh? Well, I think the trouble is that your songs make sense, you see. It's very difficult to get those published. The first thing to do if you're going to have a successful song is to find a title that doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Or breaking in a pair of shoes. I mean, that other one, I'm alone at a table for two.
I'm doing that tonight.
Oh, are you? The fella's all upset because the girl didn't show up to take the check, so they write a song about it. If you can only get a song title, Bobby, like, I'm not stirring the sugar in my coffee because I'm saving my spooning for you. Bob, I won't take up any more time. What are you going to sing tonight?
Well, you couldn't call it by one name. It's a sort of conglomeration of three.
Oh, a medley?
That's right.
Vocal medley. Go right ahead. Thank you.
A beautiful lady in blue. We met just like two shadows do. Not one word was said. She kissed me and fled, and our little romance was through. Lovely lady, I'm falling madly in love with you. It's a feeling beyond conceiving. What can I do? I'm so alone at a table for two, pretending that I'm waiting for you. But down in my heart there's a tender feeling, a longing for you. I'm alone at a table for two.
Thank you. That was Bobby King. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joseph Grenier. Is that right, Mr. Grenier?
Yes, sir.
And you have come down from Waterbury, Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
You live in Waterbury, do you?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's very nice of you to come down this far to be with us tonight. Now, Uncle Jim tells me that you are a trick piano player.
Yes, sir.
What tricks do you do?
I cover the keys over with a cloth, put gloves on, and blindfolded.
Oh, you play with gloves on, blindfolded, and you put a carpet it. Like over the... What do you play when you put the carpet on the keys? Tiger rug? Well, do you blindfold yourself here at the microphone or at the piano?
At the piano.
I think it would be better if you go over to the piano now and start to prepare. Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I didn't want you to get blindfolded here at the microphone and get not be able to see where you were going and wind up on some other program. It'll be embarrassing rushing in and giving you the prize in the middle of Showboat or some other show. You all right?
Yes.
Thank you. keyboard was covered up, covered over with a cloth, and Mr. Grenier played with suede gloves and was blindfolded. Thank you very much, Mr. Grenier. That was excellent. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Fair and Don Leggio. And you are going to entertain us with a vocal duet. I think if you stand on this side, you can see the piano will be better for singing purposes. And what are you going to sing?
Alone.
You're going to sing, two of you together going to sing alone, huh? Well, I'll just close one eye and I'll sort of get the illusion. Thank you.
Alone.
Alone near the sky of romance.
Alone.
Alone on this night that was meant for love.
There must be someone waiting who feels the way I do. Whoever you are you, are you? Alone.
Alone on this night that we two could share.
Alone.
Alone with your kiss that could make me care.
And when you come, I promise to be your very own. Alone, alone with a heart meant for you.
Nancy Fair and Don Leggio. And now, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our amateur contest for tonight. And while I see what the applause machine has to say, Harry will give you your homework for this evening. Harry.
If this program tonight brought you a little extra happiness, your smiles are our reward. And if you will remember the two products that make these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible, smiles will also be your reward. Ipana toothpaste for your smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for your smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results ready?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following two acts, Miss Rita DeVino and Herbert Bernfeld. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to kindly hold his hand over the heads of this young lady and this young gentleman, and as I call the names, will you kindly applaud once again and select your first and second prize winners. Are you ready, Harry?
All ready, Fred.
Well, first, the young lady who came from West Forest Hill, in her fine soprano voice, who sang Little Town and the Old County Down, Miss Rita DeVino. And then from Elizabeth, New Jersey, the young gentleman, 16-year-old boy, who played the St. Louis Blues so well on his saxophone, Herbert Bernfeld. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry? Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to Herbert Bernfeld, ladies and gentlemen. One saxophone. Second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Miss Rita DeVino. Thank you both very much. I'm sorry you all couldn't win, but thank you all for coming.
The Old Town Hall is ringing with cheers as Fred Allen says goodnight until next Wednesday at the same time. Good night, everyone.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.